Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full, Matthew tells us. Well, I guess we know what the disciples were having for breakfast and lunch and perhaps even dinner, leftovers. There was a basket for each of them. I wonder if they even caught Jesus's subtle rebuke of them here. These were the same cats who attempted to help Jesus out a bit earlier. As usual, his compassion had gotten out of hand. A crowd akin to the Woodstock Festival had gathered for a healing service that had gone on for a very, very long time. The place was desolate, meaning McDonald's was a long way from there, and the compassionate thing to do was to send the people away to fend for themselves, lest they get hungry. Isn't it interesting? The disciples' definition of compassion was turning people back upon themselves for help. I suppose we shouldn't be surprised. After all, they were descendants of the Israelites, and everybody knows the Israelites had a lot of experience with desolate places, about 40 years worth to be exact. And during that time, they developed a love-hate relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes, they had been adopted by Yahweh and all the glory that went with that. Yes, they had the covenants, the law written in stone, worship of the one true God, and the promise of the coming Savior. Still, it was hard sledding out there in that desolate wilderness. At least in Egypt, they had melons and leeks. Yummy! Being a slave, stomping in the mud pits by the Nile River, the labor force of an egotistical pharaoh seems a small price to pay for a cantaloupe, don't you think? But out there in the wilderness, all God gave them to eat was some weird bread stuff called manna. Plus, one could never be sure there was going to be a sufficient amount of it. Just enough for the day appeared each morning, except on the Sabbath, when enough for 2 days fell. But there was no such thing as leftovers. Truly, they were forced to rely on God for daily bread, and that right there is the problem. Trusting God is so much harder than the apparent certainty of taking care of yourself. Can God really be trusted? Is God going to provide? Will there actually be enough? Don't you think God wants, perhaps even needs, some help? And into this history, the disciples were born, drinking deeply from the well of the law that demands people pull themselves up by the bootstraps or else. Imagine their surprise when Jesus told them to cook dinner. "We have nothing," they confessed, as the law did its work on them. And they were exactly right. They had nothing, including trust in the compassion of the God of his creation or for his creation. All day those disciples had watched Jesus cure the sick, yet they couldn't put together the fact that people's empty bellies matter to God too. And like their ancestors, scarcity, mistrust, and the desire for self-reliance was all that they could see. "Five loaves and two fish is all we have," they whined, as the law shut their mouth. And we don't hear another word from them in this passage. But if we hear anything from this passage, it is that God takes care of his creation in spite of us. In spite of our mistrust, our unbelief, our preference for self-reliance, God is intimately involved in everything that happens in his world. The creation is the Lord's, and he alone will sustain it. And nothing will come of it that he doesn't want to occur. Colonizing Mars is not the only solution. I'm sorry, Mr. Musk, that's not quite right. And so, with mouths closed and the compassionate God in control, we hear Isaiah begin to sing. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk. Without money and without price," goes his song. And that is most certainly what happened that day on a hillside in Galilee. Still, We must be careful here. Isaiah's song continues with a warning. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which does not satisfy, he cautions. A well body and a full belly are not what matters most. Daily bread is not what matters most in this old world, and storing up leftovers reaches diminishing returns rather quickly against the enemies that stand against us. Daily bread does not forgive sin. Daily bread does not stop death. Daily bread does not silence the accusations of the evil one against you. And so once again, we are turned back to the one who looks at us with compassion. And in the face of the enemies that stand against us, we are forced to confess that we have nothing except ears. And what is it Isaiah said? Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. Is that what he said? Yes, that is exactly what he said. So listen up. I'm speaking the truth in Jesus Christ, the one who has sent me to you, and by his authority I forgive you the entirety of your sin. There is peace between you and God for Christ's sake. Before you even woke this morning, God said things are perfect between you and me. So hear this. Your Lord, full of loving compassion, does not lie, and he will never send you away. Amen.